Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
You Cannot Say, and it is written by my co-host, Big Brother Jay Hatter, and the singer and writer of the music is Shout Even Shy, and it's become quite a favorite for so many of us. This is Deborah Lee, and you're listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are a radio group that hangs on allpoetry.com, a mega poetry site where you can join for free. If you do, or if you're already a member, you can find us under the group tab, A Team of Voices. Just click and knock on the door and I'll meet you there. To participate, you need only dial 1-646-668-2837. And you could hang out with us, or you could click and listen from the room and participate there. And, wow. Okay. So, you know, there's a really, really, really long line. So let me just kick this into gear. So the other than my co-host, Hatter.
Yeah, I'm
you
here.
You must be
I'm
muted.
Here.
There you are.
Yeah,
the first person I'm going to introduce actually beat me here and was waiting when I got here. Say hello to Sky. Hi, Sky. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
And right behind her is Kay and Steven.
Hello,
hello, guys.
Hello.
Glad you're here. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. And let me just keep on going because there's like a big old line going on. Right behind them, guys, we have Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne. Welcome to the show.
Glad to be here tonight.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, thank you.
And let me keep on going here. I have Frank on the line. Hey, Frank, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hello.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Happy Valentine's
and
Day.
And I have area code, excuse me, area code 443. Hello, who's calling?
Hey, Deb.
Hi, Holly. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. And I have area code 573. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello, Deb. It's Sinister Spittle.
Hey, Jen.
I'm crashing the party. Get out of the way. Here I come.
That's cool. Grab a beanbag chair. You know, Sin, I see your call here, and I'm trying to figure out what the heck's going on because you're the only one that's got like a hand waving at me. Did you do something when you called? Did you call in a different?
I might have pressed one. I don't know. You know, because on most live talk shows, you got to raise your hand to see if you want to be picked up. So I probably hit one button.
Cool. How did it ask you to push one? I mean, I'm serious. I had no, or you just did it because you've done it on other shows and it worked.
I just did it because I'm used to most shows. You got to raise your hand if you want to read. You don't get on that.
That's
otherwise.
Funny because I need to know how to do that because I do have callers sometimes that would rather just hang out and listen. So anyway, that's really
all they have to do. All they have to do is you know their area code so you don't pick up, and if they want to read, they press one, they get in queue, and then you can pick them up from there. So anybody that's ever listened to a show and you don't want to read right away, you know, just let your host know what your area code is and they can keep you on hold and you can listen to the whole thing and talk if you want it, just by pressing one.
Way cool. All right. Now, thank you for the information. And because I said one more, let me let David in. David, welcome to the show. Glad you're here. Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, thank you. Same to you, Deb.
And I am packed, and I got some whole bunch of requests going on. So I'm going to – normally we just jump right in with the dynamic duo, but Sky has to leave, so I'm going to go Sky, Stephen, and Kay this week. If I can find the board, and I'm just going to start putting them up here because – I want everybody's poems to fit, and because I want those pressed for time to be able to go. And Sky, when you see your poem, will you please read for us?
Thank you. Yes. Just as a little thing, because I'm maybe lost. This is based on the books, not the film, and. This character of the winged monkey, Glee villainized, and it's really not the truth. So this poem will explain it. Sometimes I mix my own story in with the fiction. This is straight fiction. This isn't any of my own, except my own words, obviously. This is called The Curse of Galette by Sky Darko. Long before they met the nativity of death, of mirrored moons, and unmarked travel of a thousand medallion suns, those orbits that drape the earth around her belt like a carcanet. There lived a king and his band of loyal but mischievous creatures. This king held not crown, yet governed still his winged brethren. These hawk-like monkeys lived to lark, to hoax and hapless, the hapless and fortunate. much of a much. In this careless way of tapered leer, they happened upon the richly garnished man, and as a jest dropped him in to the rivulet. In good humor, he did not fret about his wares, his fine silks and velvets made of brilliant gold. But unlike Quelala, his intended was stern, and the punishments of winged beasts. Gaylette was a beautiful princess and powerful sorceress, who had the ability to grant her own wishes, to bid her dreams into fruition. With the golden cap she fashioned as a wedding gift, she cursed the creatures with eternal servitude. Engraved inside solid gold, adorned with diamonds and jewels, was the incantation to invoke three wishes upon the command of Master's will. For whomever wore his golden cap could call upon the winged creatures as slaves. Many centuries had passed when fate befell the witch, and in the tasseled grin of malevolence, she curled her wicked schemes about its power. The first wish conquered Winky Country, a lush and yellow land that neighbored the deep mines of the Null Mountain. The second enabled the witch to defeat the great wizard, stripping his ideals from western territory. The last, of course, was the capture of a small girl with silver shoes. The winged creatures had not the will to disobey, for the curse brought upon them cared little if the master of the cap was malevolent or cruel. But in the wake of a watery grave, the magic was at the behest of a lost Kansas gale, and after a journey to Emerald City, which is in fact not made entirely of emerald, but rather than medley of rubies, sapphires, diamonds, and other precious stones, after one ill-used wish and a flight over the rocky hills of Hammerhead, the winged creatures found freedom in Quadlin Country, as Glinda, good witch of the south, bestowed them the gift of the golden cap, ending the curse of Gaylette forevermore. End poem.
Wow.
Right? Are you kidding me, Sky? You practically
really?
Just got this. She just got this prompt from me 5 minutes ago. I mean, that's a little bit of sarcasm, but seriously, she just got this poem a little bit ago. I can't. Gosh.
Me too.
Yeah, I mean, the details, the story, you pull me in, and I'm hanging on each word to find out what's coming next, and I'm like, I can't even to steal one of your lines. You have just blown me away with this epic story in just no time at all. I mean, talk about being inspired by a thought that this flying monkey, which is really cool that you went with that, and I do notice the difference in the details, obviously, from the book, which shows that I've only ever watched the movie. but Sky, this is, like, incredible. I'm nearly speechless.
Thank you, Dad.
You absolutely blew this away. I know I sound like an idiot, but I was never expecting. It seems like you didn't even have enough time to write all this, let alone to render me stuttering. So, like, I appreciate it very much. You did a brilliant job. My,
thank
oh,
you.
My. All right, let me get a comment from David, please.
Wow, that's all I got to say. Holy cow. You know, they folks call me the storyteller, but you know, you did a really good job on this guy. I was just like Deborah. I was just sitting here. I got onto the poem just a little bit late, but it, you know, it pulled me right into it, and it's so picturesque. You know, I was right inside your storyline there, and I could see what was going on, and it's just spectacular the way you put this together. I'm sort of like Deb. I'm basically speechless myself. And if you just threw this thing together, well, I know you didn't throw it together, but I mean, if you just wrote this, in a short amount of time, that's even more mind-boggling to me. I have to get myself pulled into a sort of a mantra or a mood, you know, when I write stuff like, and you know, something, you know, a story poem like this, and this was so masterfully written and told, and the way you read it and everything, that's just, wow, that was really cool. Good job. Really good job.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And how about one from Wayne?
Well, like I said, I don't think Walt Disney would like this version. Yours is in color. It's a point. I do it all the way through. It's a new storyline for me. I never knew the storyline, so I think it's great. I'm kind of amazed at it. I like the part where you said it started out great when you first started out. You said, many centuries had passed when the faith befell the witch. I said, oh, here we go. And then you got it where she defeated the great wizard. I didn't know that about that one yet either. So it's great poem all the way through, and great storyline, and I'll probably have to read this one again because it's a storyline of Oz I've never heard of before. Great job.
Thank you, Wayne. Good thing it was MGM that did the film. It wasn't a Disney film.
No, it wasn't Disney, that's right.
Awesome. Stephen, will you comment for Sky, please?
Yes, first I make sure that you can hear me. Yes, you can. I thought this was pretty cool. I've never read the book. I've only seen the movie. But the backstory of the winged monkeys I thought was pretty cool. Since it seemed like they were into a bit of tomfoolery, and it made me think of the Irish Pooka. And I thought maybe perhaps it was a fitting punishment at first until someone wicked had the cap. But hopefully now that they're free, they've learned their lesson and they'll lay off the pranks. I thought this was awesome.
Thank you. You know, there was a series of books, and I almost went Tin Man, because the Tin Man was cursed to chop off all – it was very dark – to chop off all of his arms and his legs, and that's why he turned into a Tin Man. So, I mean, if you ever have a chance, if you like dark writing, read the series.
Awesome. And Kay, will you comment for Sky before we do your poem, please?
Yeah, I like the way this reads because I had to, there were certain words that made me want to look it up to try to understand better. So I like how you bring in the extension of the story because it was something I did not know. And with it, I did learn that Gaelette was a beautiful princess as well as a powerful sorceress who once lived in the magical land of Oz. She was introduced into the wonderful world of Oz, which revealed that she also was the first original creator of the magical golden cap, which was tied to the winged monkeys of Oz. And one thing I learned in life is sometimes pranksters never learn, and they'll still do their pranks.
Yeah, I know.
So there's always hope that mm-hmm. a prankster learns. Sometimes they'll never learn. But I like how you brought this in because with the closing, you bring in Poe by saying nevermore. So it's a great infusion of literature in two different ways. It's an awesome share.
Thanks.
Fabulous comments. And before you read, Sky, did you want to push your next show before you go to bed?
Oh, yes, please. So next show, I am doing live action animation. It's going to be, I have a couple lined up in this way. We're going to be featuring the 1977 film and the newer film of Pete's Dragon. You could write to any of the themes, characters, quotes in either one of the films. And, of course, there's lots of songs, could do a parody. I mean, you could do so many things. Quotes, of course, you can go anywhere you like. And it's at 8 o'clock on Saturday night.
Sounds awesome. Thank you so much.
Now,
I don't know if you can stay for Kay before you go or you're headed
I
to
do.
Bed right
I,
now,
I want,
but I
I'm gonna,
appreciate you calling.
I'm going to stay for Kay. Thank you. Yeah. I will stay
okay.
for one.
All right. I'll even have you comment before me so that you can go. So her poem is on the board. Somebody shout when they see it, and I will have Kay take the mic.
Well, okay.
Yes?
Yeah. Can see it. So, yeah, this was a picture that spoke to me. It's been a long time since I've seen The Wizard of Oz. I've seen it so much in my youth that I didn't want to revisit it. Because sometimes when you have children, there's things that you watch continuously because they want to, mm-hmm. that it makes you not want to watch it anytime soon. So I took the picture, and I kind of spun my own notion. So I call this Linen to Bone, Shingled, and Inscription Splintered. Furriers bespoke tailors of glad rags and haberdasheries mourning, knit in a bib and tucker and togs to wardrobe, scamper the scurrying as duries, marry the vexation of air, mildew in the cedars. Barrier of shoes, the blemished gold of luck, twined rustin and soilin, barriers of disease, smog, fence in the route veneered, shrubbery brushed and dustin of leaves, grasslands stop communicating, hatched coverings, hacksawed avalanche of curls, filaments dimmed, as it clicks in dismemberment, never leads to home. End poem.
What an ending. Right? As
yeah.
clicks in dismemberment, never leads to home. What? Yeah, that's a mic-dropping ending there. Damn. And, you know, I was also noticing at the beginning there, scamper the scurry as durries narrow the vexation of air, mildewing the cedars. There was a cool alliteration thing going on there, and I was like, I really like that, especially the scurrying as durries narrow. I like the language that you pulled in. Farrier of shoes, the blemished gold of luck, twined, rustling, and soiling. I'm going to stop saying lines because I have to leave something for others. But like, I love that twist of an ending there. And then the title, Linen to Bone, Shingled, an Inscription Splintered. And yeah, that shingle, it put its inscription right there in her skin above her knee. So like the visuals in just the title were really cool. And the brevity with a lot packed into it, Ed. This is brilliant. Great share, okay?
Thank you.
And Sky.
I thought this was an excellent piece. I really love the darkness that you put into it. Because anybody who has read the books knows that there is, I mean, even in the film, it was a very dark film. I didn't go as much, the books were very, if they were written today, I don't think that they would be really highlighted for a young age. A lot of, I think, of the old rites are like that. A lot of the old books have much more darker, I say, tone to them. And the Wizard of Oz series is one of those that are is very much known for that. And so I like that you kind of had a darkness into this. When you go into the language, which is, I thought, was brilliant. The scamper, the scurrying, as duries nary, the vexation of air, mildewing, the cedar. It makes me think of those. I mean, that's a picture. You see the picture, and you can see those decaying leaves and, you know, that mildew of cedar, perhaps, you know, of the decay, which I really, really enjoyed. And then, of course, bringing in the shoes and the rustling and the soil. And then at the end, I this is where it comes to me where, yes, you could be writing to a prompt to the film or to the picture or to the idea. But I think, you know, many people can take it into a much deeper level of perhaps lost child or lost innocence. With the hatch coverings, hacksawed avalanche of curls. So if you think of curls, you know, you can think of it as the curling of the feet when she curls up in the film, when her shoes curl up into the, and then disappear. Or you can think of it as a youthful curl. So, I mean, there's so many different ways that you can kind of take this, or the reader can, rather. And I really liked how you brought in the darkness of the photo into the fiction. Really well done.
Thank you.
Fabulous comment. And thank you again, Sky, Sweet Dreams, talk to you soon.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too. All righty. And I'm going to get a comment from Frank, please.
Yes, of course. I have to say, looking at that prompt, it brings me back those memories of the film. But I thought you always have such a command, a diction here, that I really, and you use your wording in the metaphors. You make your poetry much more tangible. And I like what I know that it has a dark overtures tone, but I really like the way you just embraced the prompt there, and you took it with the array of metaphors that you used. And I, of course, the ending was one that I, because we all know never leads to home, which was the thing that she was always trying to do, return home. I think you did an exceptional job of this. I was very much impressed by this piece and the way you took it. I really liked the whole notion you offer here in this piece here. And I,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Frank. And Stephen, will you please comment for for Kay, and then read your poem for us too?
Yeah, I like this a lot. I thought that you used excellent verbiage to describe that picture. I thought that was very well done, and you brought in a little bit more, at least in my mind, of the Wizard of Oz, kind of like what Sky was talking about, where you talk like the curls, and making me think of the, because you see that picture, and you automatically picture those curling up and sliding underneath, because that part always kind of disturbed me a little bit when I was younger.
Oh.
Yeah, it just seemed kind of odd that would happen.
Yeah.
And the fact that the house fell on her. But yeah, that's just not a good day. But anyway, I really, really, really do like the route that you took with this. It's very well done.
Thank you.
All right.
Fabulous comments, everyone. And thank you so much, Kay. And Stephen, yours is up under that amazing gift there that's kind of scary. Take us away.
Yeah, I remember Hatter said that scene scared the hell out of him, so I figured I'd put it on the board. Anyway, I took the Tin Man, and I call this Rusted Joints Frozen with Fear. In a world filled with poppies of sleep, lollipop guilds of grins, life drops houses on tottering legs, making hay-filled heads to spin. Yellow brick roads do turn to tile, asbestos showers will be wet. Freezing copper joints in place, sucking lock jaws are set. Metallic chest once held a heart, qualmed a shock and creep. Dented forehead pressured apart, grinding hips do weep. Brass fingertips and tangled hair, dirty unkempt nails do hold. Shielded pneuma from the stare, dust where once held gold. Beveled lids squeeze oiled barms, moribund pitted ribcage cold. With whims of wizard wandwork charms, lift off bent knees so old. End poem.
Hmm.
Yeah. Metallic chest once held a heart, qualmed a shock and creep, dented forehead pressured apart, grinding hips to weep. There's so much sadness. And it breaks my heart for him just in that stanza, let alone some of the other stuff in there. Back up a little. Yellow bricks, roads do turn to tile, asbestos showers rusty wet, freezing copper joints in place, suckling locked jaws are set. It's like you never really think about the part before she gets there and squirts him down with the oil can and he gets to talk and they become friends and all. But, you know, this puts a little more emphasis on that time he spent there with the lockjaw, with the rusted, you know, just metallic chest once held a heart, qualmed a shock and creep. It's just pretty gut-wrenching. And then at the end there, beveled lid squeeze oiled barred. Moribund. That's a new word for me. Pitted ribcage cold with winds of wizard wandwork charms. Lift off bent knees. So old. I mean, really, the sympathy for him that you inspire with this is palpable, Stephen. Excellent use of the prompt. Wow, very impressive. And I'm still racking them in. Look how close you are to 300. Oh my goodness! Look at all those tens. Woohoo! Awesome share. Let me get you some comments. How about if I get a comment from Sinister, please?
Stephen, I admire your ability to take random things or nostalgic things. Doesn't matter. You've got this knack of taking someone else's story and making it your own. That's incredible to listen to. And I really appreciate it, buddy. All the talent.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Fabulous comment. And how about if I get a comment from Wayne, please?
Yes, you brought the pain and the suffering of a rusty old man to life, and that's exactly how I feel in the mornings. Nighttime is hard because the rust never sleeps. He had a headache, and he said he would dent his forehead, pressure apart. It made my head start hurt. I need aspirin. Great job, Liz. Great pain he showed in it, and wonderful right. I loved it.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And David?
Okay. You know, I don't think I've ever read a poem that was written about the Tin Man. And, Stephen, you just knocked this completely out of the ballpark. In fact, you put the baseball in geosynchronous orbit around the Earth, I think, with this one. The rhyme and meter on this poem is outstanding, just outstanding. It really has a nice flow to it, especially the way you read it. It brings that the cadence of it and stuff is so well done that it comes through in your reading of it. I just really like this, and I agree with Deborah. She said that making sympathy for the Tin Man instead of sympathy for the devil. You know, it just sort of passed over in the movie Wizard of Oz, and you've really defined this, you know, in this poem here, and it does make you feel bad for the Tin Man, you know. It's inspiring too, you know. I mean, I could almost write something about it myself, you know. Not for anything other than just my own aggrandizement here, but I just thought this was really well done. Really well done. You and Kay are a hell of a poem writing team. You know that? I think you are, anyway. Nice job.
Aww.
Thank you, Dave.
Well, that was sweet. And Allie, will you comment for Stephen, please?
Yeah, I mean, it was just like a really interesting light. I don't think I've only watched a bit of a documentary. But it was just a really interesting take on, I think, like, a character that many people would just kind of gaze over. Like, it was just very full of imagery and very appealing to the listener or the reader.
Thank you, Alan.
Comment. And you are the next reader, but I'm going to have Stephen push their shows that are happening this week before you read. So just sit tight for a moment.
All right, our next show is Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. It is the Poetic Inklings of Tomorrow, and it will be our monthly visit with Edgar Allan Poe. We're focusing on the short story by Poe called The Premature Burial. We have quotes from that to write to. The short story is available to listen to on YouTube if you wanted to hear it, to get a little inspired. It's only like 40 minutes to listen to it. And they actually did a movie in 1962 as well that Kay and I are probably going to check out tomorrow. Thursday night is a special edition of the Poetic Inklings at 9 p.m. Eastern, where we're going to honor Maya Angelou. Kay has a dozen poems from her that she would like to read online, and if anybody has anything they wrote inspired by Maya Angelou, they're welcome to bring that along and Just real quick, something different with a request is Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, and this week is Name That Film with Sky hosting.
Sounds like all kinds of amazing stuff happening. Looking forward to it. And I don't know if you can stay for one more, Paul, if you got to go, but I appreciate you both very much. And Allie, if you see yours on the board, will you please read for us?
Took me a minute to find mine because I was reading David's poem, which kind of connects to mine, but I found it. So I'll start. I still messed up my poem. We're going to ignore it. A girl whose parents were crazy once failed to realize common sense things. One being the girl's then lifted hands as she accidentally touched a hot stove once. The girl's blanket that was covering her at night was caked with dirt. Her skin was dirty, and the cut she got when she fell was very interesting. Her eyes appeared glazed to anyone who saw them, her clothing was soiled. A month afterwards, the girl was rescued. However, though being rescued, the girl's mind was still scarred. But some nice people had entered that girl's life, and they said in their show not long ago how sweet and mature she was for 18. These people made the girl smile so much she cried. Her eyes were no longer glazed, but she will never forget that picture. The one of the butterfly that she clutches close to her. Now I leave the reader, or in your guys' case, the listener, with one question. If I told you that girl was me, how would you react? Deb gave me a second chance with being an ATOV. That was the first second chance I can remember getting. Deb knows a butterfly isn't just a butterfly. This can make me cry happy tears by encouraging me to keep writing and by commenting on a poem after someone left a discouraging message on it. David made me cry happy tears. He encouraged me to read on the show. He understood my fear, but he also told me how nice it would be, and it is, even though I'm nervous at times. Okay, and Susan, I don't have enough good words to thank you both. Honestly, I don't know where to start. Jay has understood me and my ways for months. She doesn't question it, and neither does Steven. And they don't get mad when I'm having memories, rather. Jay's always there, and she tries to help. And these people are special, caring, and loving people. And I'm glad to have such spectacular people in my life, especially when I've been through so much. And I was actually just telling David a few minutes ago. We're trying to keep this as short as possible, but then there's a long line of people. Yesterday, I was told by some very rude teens that I will not mention the usernames, though, but they actually told me that I'm emotionally, verbally, and mentally abusive. And at that point, I looked at my poems, and I said, why am I writing if all of this is happening? And then I ended up messaging David a few minutes ago, and I was like, if I hadn't written your poem, would it make no sense? So, I mean, reading this was just hard to read, but I'm open to comments if anyone has any.
Before I get a comment, let's say hello to AP. Hey, AP, welcome to the show.
Well done, Allie, too, for being on it and for reading. And I know it was tough for you, but you've done really well.
Thank you.
Amen.
Awesome. And then I'm going to get Kay to comment because I know that they got to go.
Oh, yeah. After listening to you read, it made me think of something that I usually think of quite often. First off, it was a wonderful read. Your write is a wonderful tribute to many great folks here. But I was also thinking of a quote. As Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers. You'll always find people who are helping. And I think that's a very true quote that speaks to friendship, to life, and getting through anything that is troubling. Life is its own chaos, and finding kindness in the helpers, it makes the day less sad and more manageable. Thank you, Allie.
Thank you.
Beautiful comment, Kay. Is Stephen still with you?
Yeah.
Yes. I thought that this was a beautiful rite and tribute to some wonderful people, Allie. And I like how you're brave and you bring in your history sometimes like this. I did tell you in my comment that it is truly amazing how many wonderful people you can meet here on All Poetry. It is also amazing how much writing helps you through, you know, like the bad times. Mm-hmm. And I think you're learning that and you're really honing your poetry. Very well done.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome comment. And thank you both very much for coming. Happy Valentine's Day. I will see you guys later or tomorrow. Love and respect.
Okay.
One more poem. Night, guys.
Yeah.
And I lost my train of thought. I'm so sorry. David, comment.
Please. Yes. Well, I thought this was a wonderful poem, Allie, and you are in the midst of a family that loves you and will help you in any way they can. I was really impressed with the way you wrote this. I was impressed with the first time I heard your poem read on the air. I think Deborah read it. And we all talked about your wisdom, I guess, for a lady your age, and you have it. And I want to thank you for coming on the air. And I know it's a scary thing to do. I was scared the first time I did it, and I've been writing this stuff for a long, long time. And you're 17 years old, and you screwed up your courage, and you dialed the phone number, and you did it last month or last time, and you did it again tonight, and I'm impressed. And I'm just you need to pat yourself on the back for doing this, because not everybody has the moxie to do something like this, and not everybody has the intellect to put thoughts together and have it come out as well as this does. It was touching, and I liked it a lot. So way to go.
Thank you.
You're welcome,
awesome
sweetie.
Comment. And Sinister, will you comment on Allie's poem before you read yours, please?
There, I'm talking on mute again. sorry, I'm sitting there talking now. I've lost my train of thought. My head's so cloudy in the first place. I got to say that you created a ride. You created something that people can, you know, take a seat with and follow and go where your head wants them to go. And I thought you did a good job at that, especially seeing, I don't know, you seem like a young writer. You've got a lot of good direction to go.
Did you see
Hello.
Yours, Sin?
Close up right
here. Does everybody else see his?
Yeah. I got it. Everybody else good?
Okay, cool. And AP, while he's reading, can you put your link up, please? Shin, go ahead.
As I said, I'm kind of crashing the party, but the hourglass monkey made me think of this. Cathedral glass. Blue and cold, lifeless, I found you. Wretched to the day you went away. I'm not okay. As I sift through pieces, shattered aorta like broken glass, distraught mania. We were supposed to elevate in spite. Live full the sands of our hourglass was left, but tragedy took you sooner than that. Merce died that day, cracked everywhere, question reason. Splinters of glass fall from your cathedral, walls shook with mighty figure and pain. I can't trust my thoughts at all today, reflecting the plethora of chaos ensued. Trace fully the spot you last laid, walk a circle of regret and shame. Still you took me back the night before. Love reblossoming, connections unite, trusting you. Engaging your bounty for a lifetime, I could stay. Decades together, yet I thirst you like new. Showered me in reconciliation, budding tides. Alas, when I woke, I found you breathless, devastated eye. Tried to reassemble the broken glass, mouthed my intent, but I was too late. Damn this pinnacle of seeking death, broke down amongst shards painfully. I lost more than a partner, I lost my heart. Jagged little pieces of despair, I now sit. Fleeting from my digits, sprawling names, I'm lost without you, lover. I shan't love again, in peace. My voodoo queen.
Damn. That sin, this is potent. You grabbed me with your words and with the emotion inside, with the tone in your voice, with the details, with the devastation. I barely know what to say other than I'm so sorry and that this is incredible. And again, I have to repeat, I can't believe you got through that so soon. This is sad and powerful and impressive. And I don't know if I have enough adjectives to just keep spitting them out. And I don't want to pick up a stanza because this is just like a powerhouse of you exploding with your pen. It's impressive. Thank you for sharing it, Sin. Let me get you some comments.
Thank you for being involved.
Frank, can you comment for Sin?
Yeah. At times, I've said it before, the most beautiful type of poetry is when we don't sugarcoat so much with words. We express them sincerely from the heart. And when they come from the heart, like you do in this room, you always do if you're writing. I said it the other night exactly. What I admire about you is that you express yourself in the most sincere way. You know, you express what you feel, what you think, regardless of what others think. And I think this poem really, really is such a beautiful write. I know that the reason what it's wrote, I know what has happened, and I know to a certain extent, I know perhaps the details, but I don't need to know all that, Sin, to know what you felt, because you clearly, in your words, put a lot of your heart into this piece, a lot of your thoughts conveyed in this piece. It's just a plethora of just you, of who you are. And I really like, first of all, I said it before, I commend you on just sharing this, because this is something that most people at times don't feel comfortable sharing, personal things. But I dearly feel that you did this piece as well in honor of her. You did her justice.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate that, buddy.
You're welcome.
She was the greatest muse of my life. The best and worst of my artwork came from her.
Don't ever lose that. She may be gone there, Sin. But as long as she's in your heart, man, that's all that matters, man. That's all that matters.
Great comment, Frank. Wayne, can you comment for Sin?
This poem is as torment and pain displayed so well. I can feel your pain through the pits of my soul. That bitch is sinister, and oh man, I can feel your pain. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And AP, will you comment for Sin before you read your poem?
Yeah, I've got a lot. This is only very recent, Sin, and I like the way you used glass and the sharpness of glass and the fact that you've got all these shards and that they cut. And they will, and they will. And they'll cut for a little while. And then if you remain true to yourself, you know, those cuts will come less over time. And you know what they say about glass? It can always be boiled back up again and formed into different things, and it can. But you've just got to stay open to that. But for the minute, you've just got to be with the pain and the hurt. And you've really shared that quite beautifully with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Izzy.
Awesome comment. And I know you said you had a ghost in. I appreciate you calling, and that was a hell of a read.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you for giving me. I know I'm a little off topic, but I appreciate it, you guys. This is what's getting me through his art. All right, guys, have a good night.
Take care.
Thanks,
take care, amigo.
And AP, please.
Okay, well, this is The Wiz. As you probably know, Deb, I love The Wizard of Oz. I played the Cowardly Lion when I was quite young on stage, and it's a brilliant musical, and just a great story. So, and the artwork is great. So this is The Wiz, and it goes a little bit like this. Our head winds out the whizzy. The balloon will soon be dizzy through tornadoes in a swirl. But mosaic, different Abbott, crocheted scenes, if go grab it, if we only keep our nerve. When you're a tad, no me busy, in a corkscrew to a tizzy, absent time you do deserve. Could soon become a habit, end with frown amongst a crabbit, if stayed straight and up by curve. Seeking a famous scion, from Oz there's no denying, among his subjects serve. And I've left behind my howis, with the scratching, grinding malice, if we only keep our nerve. To a folded brass road flying, past witches live and dying, remember to seek love. Dorothy, the guide to prowess, team and satin, ne'er a spouse get result we all deserve. We're off complete with Wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. We hear he is the Wiz of the Wiz, if ever a Wiz there was. The Wizard of Oz is one because of those various things he does. We're up with our own wizard, the Whiskered Wizard of Oz. End poem.
That was so cool. And I could hear people in the background. Yeah, I could hear people in the background delighting in it as you read too. And aside from the poem and the song itself, it was perfect timing to change the mood a little, because that was really powerful. And then we get to this delightful song, and I can't believe that you rewrote the song and you came and sang, and it says 26 minutes ago. I don't know how long you've been working on it, but if you just did this in the last hour, if I already didn't find how you can write something quickly impressive, this is like, wow. And then to come on and sing, I don't even know which one to pick. The sound of it, the flow of it, everything was spot on to the original song. And yes, I do remember when you shared that you were the lion in a play in school, and it had me grinning and I'm trying to picture you in your in your lion suit. Truth be told, anyway. To a fold brass road flying, past witches live and dying, and remember to seek love. I mean, it's just, the message is great, the details. I think you kind of outdid yourself with this one. And the fact that you're a Wizard of Oz fan shows a little bit, too, in the delightfulness of this treat. It's very, very, even down to the because. So, I mean, like, this was a really fun share. I'll have to go back and read it again afterwards. Thank you. It's a great piece. Let me get you some
Thanks,
comments
sir.
Here. Allie, what did you think of the song AP just wrote and sang for us?
I don't think she feels much like commenting, Deborah.
Huh?
She sent me a message. She said, Allie sent me a message. She says she doesn't feel like commenting on poems. She's
okay.
Kind of upset for some reason. I'm sorry.
No problem. Okay. How about if I get, well, David, will you comment, please?
I'd love to. I thought this was outstanding. And it couldn't have been done any better without you singing it, AP, and you did a hell of a job singing it, you know. You got more guts than I do. rewriting a song, words, you know, to match the phrasing in a song is not easy. And you got it right down there, you know. And this was just a treat. To hear you sing it and just to hear it in general. So, man, if you did this in half an hour, I'm going to quit writing. Well done, AP. Well done indeed.
No, thanks, Doc. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And Frank, will you comment, please?
Yes. First of all, you took me down memory lane with this particular piece there, and I have to say, your singing was very exceptional. I was very much impressed by the flow that you had, you know, the cadence of this piece. It's not a very easy piece to sing. Nevertheless, what I also took from this poem was just the whole vision of what the Wizard of Oz wrote over, I would say, almost a century, or not a century yet, but over a century, that this film came out. And yet at the same time, you know, we all can relate to this as a child, you know, even as adults now. I just thought you did a wonderful display of, first of all, of your writing, which I do agree with Dave there. I mean, half an hour to write this, it's not very easy. I mean, particularly since you always have a rhyming scheme, which is always impeccable. I just was very much impressed by the way you carried the piece with your voice. It was just very, very well orchestrated, I would say. You did a great job.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you.
Oh, you're
welcome. Awesome comment. And Wayne, can you comment for AP before you read your poem, please?
Yeah, well, I got a SoundCloud in my poem, but that's I got a SoundCloud. But anyway, yeah,
well,
I wrote My Life is Complete after hearing AP sing his poem. I'll be humming it all night long. It's great, great production. You did a wonderful parody with a great storyline. You did a great job for producing it. And yeah, I'll give you the Star of Oz tonight for the award. Great job, JP. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And thank you so much, AP. Hopefully we'll figure out the thing and talk later.
Yes. Yes.
All right. I appreciate you.
I'll feel quite up. Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks, everybody.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. Bye, everybody. Cheers.
Cheers.
Okay, now here is Wayne's, and I do have your sound. So let's click on that, and I will push play.
This poem is called Because. It goes like this. Flannel and furred, traveling dehydrated down Bellwood Road, painted and polished, tales of Tin Man's heart were told. Dimpled, dotted Dorothy, grinning gazed at Jayhawk days. Glazed and jeweled, Ivory Witch Glinda whispered in haze. Sculptures draw scarecrow, wearing corduroy canvas clothes. Long-haired lion, stretching thick, tangled tail that shows. Eyelet-etched, whiskered witch, cast spell, making it snow. Tiny tooth toto, liquid lip, silky shield, shoe with glow. Plated pathway, bordered by burgundy and blue bonnet bouquets. Enameled emerald city blinks in crystal condo cushioned sunsets. Many munchkins mingle amongst men, making most ask why. Bubbly body balloon, basket, caresses, ceramic, Kansas sky. Bye-bye.
Way cool. And that music in the background was quite interesting. I'm trying to, it had like a softness to it. I love the title, because, very cool. Sculptured straw scarecrow, corduroy canvas clothes, long-haired lion, scratching thick, tangled tail that shows. Great rhyme and great description for each character. Like each line, we got the lion, we got we got the scarecrow, and we got the lion, and we got, I think everybody's mentioned in there. Glenda's in there, and I think you have three stanzas, and you just pack like this powerhouse of content and descriptions into there, and painted your own little scene with your words. And there was a gentleness to the sound of your voice as you read too, which added to it. I think that this came out really cool, and I like that you make the sound clouds so that you can hear yourself. And I bet you critique yourself pretty hard too, Wayne, but I think that you do a great job with these. And I'm fighting hiccups why I sound like this. But plated pathway bordered by burgundy and blue bonnet bouquets. I mean, just beautiful descriptions to keep with the enchantment of this, you know, all the way through. And bubbly body ballooned baskets caress ceramic canvas sky. It's like, wow, way cool. It's a really fun share. And the SoundCloud is excellent. And I appreciate you very much. And let me get you some comments over here.
Appreciate it.
How about if I get a comment from David, please?
Oh, this was really good. I agree with what you said about it, Deborah. Three stanzas, and it's just jam-packed with rhyme and meter and a description of each one of the characters. And it was done really well. Sculptured straw scarecrow wearing corduroy canvas clothes. Long-haired lion scratching thick tangled tail that shows. Eyelet-etched whiskered witch cast spell making it snow. Tiny tooth toto liquid licked silky shielded show shoe with glow. Your poems border right on tongue twisters sometimes to me, but that's what makes them cool, you know. And I like the SoundCloud, and I like the music that went along with it. I agree with Deborah said about that too. You know, you are one of my favorite poets, brother, I really like your outlook on life and outlook on poetry and everything. It's wonderful. So well done, Wayne.
Thank you very much. What do you mention about it? My last line, I thought the second last line I made up was pretty cool with the munchkins.
I said the bubbly body balloon basket part, but yeah, no, it's awesome all the way through, Frank. Wayne, I sometimes I want to read it back, and then I don't leave anything for anybody else to make a comment on. And that happens especially when it's, you know, really fun writes like this one. And let me, Frank, before we play yours, can you comment for Wayne?
No, no, by all means. Yeah. I have to. I'm going to echo what David said. First of all, let me say what Deb said first as well. Your sound clouds are getting better about each and every in the performance. You might not see it that way, but I look at them because I've experienced. I see your recitals at performance as well. You have a wonderful gift, as I said before, of being able to utilize metaphors with your alliteration, and as well with I would say with your diction, your command of language. It cannot be easy to write in such a three stanzas here, to write all of those words of alliteration here. You always do it in a masterful way. You know, I can't really. I have to be honest. I don't think I could really write alliteration, you know, in such a brilliant fashion as you do. It would be difficult for me to do this. And at the same time, you've mastered also the way, I would say, and you're reciting to be able to recite, what David was saying, what Dave said before. You know, it's difficult, and perhaps at times it can be a tongue twister. I know that perhaps I would stumble perhaps the first time on a poem. I did read one poem. I was able to get to, I did stumble one. But that even leads to collaboration. You know, when you do that, you can write and be so effective, and not only write, but to recite your poem. It makes it even much more impressive.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the comment. That's a great comment.
Are you okay?
Yeah, excellent comment. Excellent poem. Thank you, everyone. And Frank, we're going to push yours as soon as someone tells me that they clicked on it. You guys see it?
No, just one thing. Just one thing. There is no laughter here. The end of the poem will have a short little clip which I took from the scene of The Wizard of Oz where the Wicked Witch melts. So we will hear after my recital a little bit of 3 seconds or so of what I took from a clip from the film, the original film.
Okay. And I'm going to... Here it is. Oh, here we go.
In the darkest corners of the world of Oz dwells the Wicked Witch. With her penetrating beady eyes and imposing stare of fright, the surreptitious servant of the night and the eerie echoes of horror. For she is the reaper of the souls of the little children of Naveity. Like a rapid shuttle of the phantoms of the whistling wind she rides, upon a burning broom with a force of her raw malevolence, and her creepy voice and the cackling laughter are heard roaring as they bring the startling shivers down your spooked spine. Thus, dare to enter her daunting domain, Dorothy and her companions, seeking to deceive the Wicked Witch with their attempted stealthiness. But the ominous one will ultimately discover her uninvited presence, for the great walls of the castle were the violets in crevices. They walked like cunning mouses and spoke in soft whispers, till the Wicked Witch was informed of their unannounced intrusion. She confronted them with a dreadful expression on her face, as they recoiled in absolute terror and trepidation before her. Out of sheer instinct, Dorothy would throw a bucket of water upon her, making her blistering bones melt to a cold puddle of fizzling steam, reducing the wrinkled witch to the damp, dust and dirt of horny ashes. As she screamed, out loud scratching for the air of her last gasping breath. Dead was the wicked witch.
This destroyed my wonderful wickedness. That was cool. I like how you put that in the end there.
Hello.
Way there.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, we lost somebody.
Yeah, I think we lost Deb.
Yeah.
You threw the water on, did you?
Yeah. Well, you never know.
Yeah, we gotta watch some water around here.
Oh.
Can't have our host disappearing.
She's gone. I'll go ahead and make my comment.
Go ahead, my friend. Go ahead and comment.
If I was this dramatic as your poem is, my mom would never let me watch the show. He's a great writer here, and I hate to see the witch get melted, but it was nice after that because the monkeys all started partying after that, so it was pretty good happy ending. But you did a good job of this scene here, so it's really dramatic, and so I enjoyed it a lot. Great job, Frank.
Oh, I appreciate that. And I have to say really quick, I'll be brief here. When I did this poem here, I was thinking of the scene there. You know, when I chose the prompt, I thought of the scene. So it was what inspired me there with that little clip at the end. I was able to find it and download it off. Because I go on Google, you know, I go on YouTube, and I was able to find the clip. And sometimes what people don't realize that these clips here, they're not easy to, you know, coordinate, you know, a clip of something, you know, if it's an audio and then to incorporate it into your piece with another audio as well. So it does take a bit of effort and luck as well and some, I would say, a bit of practice as well.
Yep.
And Dave, what do you think about the poem?
Oh, Frank, I love this. I thought it was great. I love the way you read it. You always put the emphasis right exactly where it needs to be, and you did that with this one. And you just had me spellbound with this. I just thought it was great. It took me back to my days of The Wizard of Oz, and I'll have to admit I haven't read any books, you know, about it other than just watching it on TV. And, you know, it was pretty tamed and dumbed down for TV, but, I thought this was really good. I loved the way you wrote it. The meter in it is spot on. It's really good. And, I just think you did a hell of a job with it, Frank. You always do, but you know, this was good too. I really liked it.
Oh, I appreciate that. Once more, is it Deb back? Are you back, Deb?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how much of my comment got cut off because I was running my mouth and didn't realize I was gone. But I'm
Wayne
glad
was
that
saying
David
that he thought that
up.
He thought that the bucket of water had reached you. That's why.
Yeah, that's what it was. But I gave an amazing comment, but when I realized I was going on. So did Wayne get the comment?
Yes, everyone
commented he did.
On the poem.
And did you hear any of mine?
No, I was not able to hear it. I don't know if anyone else heard it.
I never did either.
Okay, well then obviously the whole time I was ranting and raving, I was already gone. But anyway, I was getting such a kick out of the insert of the witch with the melting at the end. I was going on about how I bet you everybody in the world here is melting and they know exactly what you're talking about. Man, what did I say before? Oh, they walked like cunning mouses and spoke in soft whispers until the wicked witch was informed of their unannounced intrusion, and she confronted them with a dreadful expression on her face. As they recoiled in absolute terror and trepidation before her, and I could see them. I mean, I could see the scenes that you were painting with your words here, and it was just like between your the power in your dramatic reads and in your details and in your story content. This was absolutely brilliant, and bears repeating that it was a really excellent touch to put the clip from the movie and have us hearing her melting, melting. I think that you did a fantastic job with it.
Well, I appreciate that. In the prompt once more, I don't think I alluded to the prompt. The prompt was where she's actually melting there. So that was the prompt for this piece here. And I really had fun. I have to say I had fun with this piece here. And I enjoyed this whole theme. I believe you're going to have another one, right? Another one for Dorothy, I think, for next week.
Oh,
the Wizard of Oz, make that?
Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, Alice in Wonderland, okay.
Yeah, it was the Wizard of Oz and then Alice in Wonderland. It seemed
cool.
It seemed right to put them back to back since I'm always calling AP the Wizard and Hatter, we all call, you know, Hatter. So it just seemed right to put them back to back. But yeah, okay. So let me see here.
I'm going to have to go now, Deb. I just want to say before I go, thank you for having me on and for these prompts here. It was great to be on with Wayne, Stephen, Kay, David, Ali, and I'm not sure if I'm missing someone else there. Perhaps I am. Of course, you. It's always a treat. It's always a delight. AP as well. It's always a delight to be on your show and to be able to share poetry with all of you. Take care, my friends.
Take care, Frank.
Thank you so much. And happy Valentine's Day.
Just take care. Likewise. Take care.
Okay, so, wow, that's quite interesting. Everybody left us, David. Hatter's not feeling well. He didn't last very long. I still have Allie on hold. I'm not sure what's happening. Okay,
well,
let me see.
She's hanging around to hear my poem, I think.
Okay, cool.
Deborah.
Okay. I am getting your poem right now. And then after we do yours, David, we'll have two sound clips and two poems. So let me get
I'll help you.
Awesome.
Okay.
I appreciate it. That's great. Now let me put yours on the board, and we will go right there. And I'm going to also open up Allie's mic in case she wants to comment after you read. So go ahead and take us away, David.
Okay. All right. This one's called I Know the Real Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. And it's like this. Once upon a time in a land not so far away, lived a crazy old storyteller up in the Mount Hood National Forest. He told stories of the universe, all things science-related, and magical stories with all sorts of characters. The Dark Mother of the Universe came to him one night in a dream, and she said to him, David, there is a young lady I shall present to you. She needs some friendship, some folks, some older than herself. She reminds me of your human story called The Wizard of Oz. Even though her name is not Dorothy, but instead Allie, matters not, her heart is of the same purity. I have introduced her to the Butterfly Queen and the Mad Hatter from Alice in Wonderland, whose pet is a Cheshire Cat, whose verse is as recognizable as his odd hats. Deborah Lee's poetry is graceful and beautiful as the wings of her butterfly pets. I say to you, David William, this lady Allie is exceptional. Thank you for being supportive of my newest star, for she shines with the brilliance of Sirius. And so I awoke from this dream as the Dark Mother's presence of her lingering perfume, gunpowder, and cotton candy floated in the air, swirling with her purple haze, and her words about my newest friend, Allie, floated through the pathways of my mind. I thought to myself, recollections of my earlier days, ringing out words of rhyme from a blank computer screen, searching my soul for the right words that finally made their way from my heart. So long ago, I read these lines of poetry from this lady of the real Wizard of Oz, stunned at her wisdom for her years. She reminds me of a daughter I always wanted and never had, such a brilliant mind, tenacious as a T-Rex in her survival from careless words shotgunned in her direction by those who don't like themselves and see in her what they wish they were inside but can never be. This realization eats them from the inside out, such a black hole that can never be filled. They cannot say enough razor-edged words to fill themselves back up. It's event horizon eating them slowly as they tip over and fall into the singularity of no self-worth. The Dark Mother will never allow her newest star, Allie, to fall into anyone's black hole, nor shall I. 'Tis just part of checks and balances within the universe. Allie Sunshine 3 is my new friend. I am proud to know her and honored she is my friend. End poem.
You know, when I read it, I was already impressed, but it's so much better hearing you read it because your compassion for her, for the new friendship that you're forming, even the little bit of longing for that daughter that you don't have, all those things came out in your voice as you were reading, which added it to it. And I mean, I just had my 7th anniversary here at the site, David, which means that for more than 6 years, we've been reading poetry together on the radio, and I think that your heart shows a lot in this one, and you help prove why people should read their own poems. And you also know that I try to steer away from bringing in things that aren't on this absolute specific topic. But when I read this, how could I not ask you to just forget my topics, forget my word, but just bring this poem? And then to get to read it and her get to listen has to feel really good for you as well. So I don't know if she's up to being able to say anything, but I did open her mic just in case. Allie, did you want to comment for Dave?
I mean, it's a little hard to comment right now. I'm still a bit emotional. I read poems before he posted it in the group, hence my quiet face emojis under what he posted. And it made this feel so appreciated when, like, I read it. But then, like, to actually hear someone say, like, the words that have been written, and they're like,
that's a great
moment. You know, that, like,
moment,
people, like, care about me. There's a set of people out there in the world, and people, and don't take this the wrong way, David, but people who, like, do horrible things to females, and especially with what I've gone through, it's like, you can never really, like, you never really feel many positive emotions at times because you're so stuck in the puddles of everything that's happened. And, like, me crying earlier had nothing to do with anyone on the show, and it was simply because I was thinking about yesterday. I was like, and I don't think I told David, but I think it's, like, so much stuff and so much things that I could label as emotionally abusive or mentally abusive, and I haven't, but there's a lot. And I was like, for someone to tell me that I'm not, it just didn't sit right. And then to hear David's poem about, like, how, like, people are going to say things because I have traits that they don't have, just kind of helped with a lot of the upsetness that I've been feeling. And it's hard because I'll say this last thing, and I don't know if you knew about this, Deb, But I finally got justice in one of the things that we've been fighting for over 2 years the other day. It's not really what I wanted. But it's enough to make me feel relieved that something's actually being done with it. There's still so much that I have to fight, but it's been very helpful having people that I know
that's
love
great
me.
To hear.
You're welcome,
and
sweetie.
That was an awesome comment. And Dave, I'm really glad you brought that and that it came across the way it did. Okay.
Thank you for letting me read it, Deb. Thank you for having it on my show, on your show.
Yeah, no, it was an honor. All right, let's get these other ones out of here.
Are you good? Deb, are you good if I go, or do you need someone else to hang on for comments?
We have 4 left, so it's totally up to you. If you need to go, and that'll make you more comfortable, you go right ahead. Dave and I will give each one of these poems 2 comments, and then we'll close out the show. But you did an amazing job.
I'm
glad
you guys need someone. If you guys need someone to stay, I can try. I just.
All right. Well, you decide whether you want to, and I'm going to read for Angel while she's on break so she can hear her poem. So if you see that on the board, you can click on that for me and have a listen. And David, do you see Angel's poem?
Yeah, I do.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, hit it.
Do you see it, Allie? Okay, all right, here we go. This is called You're Not in Kansas Anymore, Darcy, by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. Stir up the bubbly brew, little black cat. Add gelatinous eye of frog, some tail of a dog, then wing of bat, and hair of rat. The wicked witch is looking for a victim tonight, with an angry, pockmarked soul and a wicked desire to destroy all traces of the yellow brick road home. That girl has to be destroyed. And her tin kettle whiskered for the magic and mysteries of the jewel ruby red slippers is discovered. The desire to destroy them is engraved upon her blackened, sooty soul. A hot, burning hatred that can't be satisfied until they're dead like her sister. The potion is almost complete. Dripping thick, acid liquid from the spoon she stirs with. That girl will wish she'd never ballooned here just before she dies. And poem. She did a great job showing how angry the witch was there. And I loved the little play with the title there. You're not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy. But this has got the wicked attitude down pat, I'd say, and I like the details. The desire to destroy them is engraved upon her blackened, sooty soul. That's so perfect. The potion is almost complete. I like she used proper witching words. I thought that this was a really fun share, and I bet you she had fun sinking her teeth into this one. Thank you so much, Angel. And it was my honor to be your reader. And let me see what Dave thought.
Oh, this was great. And first of all, pat yourself on the back for doing such an excellent job of reading, Deb. I really like the way you did that. Stir up the bubbly brew, little black cat, and gelatinous eye of frog, some tail of the dog, then wing of bat, and hair of rat. That's great. the wicked witch is looking for a victim tonight with an angry, pockmarked soul and a wicked desire to destroy all traces of the yellow brick road home. This is just really splendid the way she wrote this and the gist of in each one of the stanzas is just priceless, you know. It just reeks of the wicked witch, you know, and this, I really like this. Angel, you outdid yourself on this one, Tweety. Boy, no fooling. Just great, great poem.
Awesome comment. And then let me see here. I am going to put the, yeah, there's still a poet on the board. And I am looking for, okay, I'm going to put his picture down in the comment so that you can see it before play. You can take a peek at it. Getting it as quick as I can. I'm running my mouth when I do. Okay, Phil is right there. And push that and push that. Okay, if you refresh the poem, and then you can look at the bottom and see the photo that he wrote to while I push play. And here we go.
The poem by Phil the Poet is called Crimson Red Shoes. Dorothy clicks the heels of her crimson red shoes, closes her eyes real tight until the dream improves, says out loud, there's no place like home, there's no place like home. Finding her way along the golden path, she begins to roam. Suddenly the flying monkeys fill the sky like a cloud, hate etched in their eyes as they cover her in their shroud. Snarling, spitting, clawing, biting, Dorothy fights in vain. They've taken her shoes, leaving her barefooted again. Caressing the yapping Toto to a disheveled heart, the yellow brick road slowly blistering apart, leaving Dorothy lying on a dirty, moist, urine-stained floor in a room filled with strangers and a blemished door. The good fairy comes to bandage her bleeding feet. Now the confusing mind of Dorothy becomes complete. Her dress is an old embroidered nightdress, tattered and torn. Toto is a dehydrated piece of damp cloth without form. In a nursing home somewhere in Kansas called the Emerald City, she continues to ask if she can go home with a voice full of pity. The great Wizard of Oz comes to visit her once a week. A whiskered gentleman in a green pleated suit kisses her cheek, leaves the home with tears in his eyes as the years grow dim. The dementia has eaten away all remembrance of him, clutches a faded photograph of a young couple on their wedding day. He wipes his eyes and realizes that his Dorothy has gone away. And
wow. Holy cow. Gee, many Christmas.
One, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah, me too, Dave. I'm like,
Jesus.
I don't even know what to say.
I know. God.
In a nursing home somewhere in Kansas called the Emerald City, she continues to ask if she can go home with a voice full of pity. The great Wizard of Oz comes to visit her once a week. A whiskered gentleman in a green pleated sun kissed her cheek. Totally unexpected direction, but completely brilliant. And every week he's been doing this lately. You never know what to expect from him, and it's always brilliant. And then, I mean, one of the best things he ever did was start recording, because there's nothing like hearing his pronunciation when he reads. But
yeah,
I really think that this is my new favorite by him.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah, it's potent. The details, the feelings. It's like I said, by the time he got to in the nursing home somewhere, I was almost in tears. It was just.
I know.
And then here we at leaves the home with tears in his eyes as the years grow dim. The dementia has eaten away all remembrance of him. And I could feel his heartbreak at being unrecognized, at being unremembered. And like my grandma had Alzheimer's, and some days she knew who I was and some days she didn't. And even though you were head knows it's because of the Alzheimer's. It rips your heart out when she says, "And who are you again?" It's just, you know, and that's the kind of feel that this has. Talk about a powerful, powerful right. Totally impressed, Bill. Color me blown away. David?
Oh, man. The two lines that really, really got my heart was the last two in the last stanza. Clutches a faded photograph of a young couple on their wedding day. He wipes his eyes and realizes that his Dorothy has gone away. Jesus. Yeah, I agree with everything you said about it, Deb. You start in with this, and right away you notice that there's something a little different about this one, you know. And you proceed in the poem, it gets a little bit darker and a little bit darker, and caressing the yappy Toto to her disheveled heart, the yellow brick road slowly blistering apart, leaving Dorothy lying on a dirty, moist, urine-stained floor in a room filled with strangers and a blemished door. Wow. You know, that when we got to that part, I thought, man, this has really turned, went around a different corner here, you know. The good fairy comes to bandage her bleeding feet. Now the confusing mind of Dorothy becomes complete. Oh, man. I agree with you. This is one of my new favorites of Phil's, for sure. Outstanding.
Absolutely. I agree so much. Wow. David, it doesn't look like Jenny's poem it needs to be a female reader. So will you please read that next poem, Jenny Lynn?
Yeah, I'll be happy to. Is this one that just says Oz?
Yes.
Deb?
The last
one.
Okay. The one from Lynn, please.
Okay. Standing on a path to nowhere, jeweled heels adorned on her feet, holding her whiskered friend Toto with only a basket to carry their treats. The air was thick with nostalgia. Many questions netted her mind, walking one foot in front of the other, leaving all that was polished behind. Dorothy knew to be safe in her travels. With a razor-sharp wit she did shine, shielding from all evildoers, carrying a glow that cannot be defined. Having a kind heart full of love, not naive, far above those that ever doubted, left her far behind, soiled only within their varnished whims, so the tales trapped in long-forgotten times. This was her journey to take. Dorothy possessed all of the strength that was needed as Oz came to life. End poem. Wow. That's really a nice poem. And the rhyme and meter on it is really good. It was easy to read. And I thought she did the prompt a real service, too. I liked it.
I agree, yeah. And a great read, too. Thank you for that. But when you get done reading and you realize how much was in that fistful of lines, that sometimes it blows me away how much someone can pick into, to pack into such a brevity. And like, with a razor-sharp wit, she did shine, shielded from an evildoer's kind of glow that cannot be defined. I mean, great detail. I can't believe the cat just turned off my computer. No. Oh, my gosh. I can't even.
Your cat turned off your computer, Deb? Is that what you said?
Yes. His little paw just stood on the power button, and he couldn't wait 5 minutes like a proof of glass SoundCloud. I can't believe he just did that. And I don't know if it shut down everything in my system, but I'm about, okay. At least all he did was turn off the screen. Came right back. Okay. I wanted to drop kick him like a field goal. But anyway, down at the end there, soiled only within her varnished limbs of the tales trapped in long-forgotten times. This was her journey to take, and Dorothy possessed all the strength that was needed as Oz came to life. I love the way she, like, wrapped that up at the end there. I thought this was a really brilliant share, and I have to say that I am absolutely happy that Jenny Lynn has decided to participate, because the couple poems that she has shared so far have been a delight. Thank you for this one.
Yeah, I agree.
And thank you for reading it, David. And
you're welcome.
I have the last poem up there, another fairly new poet to A Team of Voices, WSP. And if you click on that poem, I will push play. And let me find that. Okay, here it comes.
This is WSP reading the poem, Wizard of Oz, A Journey Begins. Long, long ago, in a land far, far away. Wizard of Oz, a journey begins. Oz, a bold canvas, now blemished and scarred. Power, scorching touch, gripped the wicked witch. Skies checkered with her horde of winged monkeys. Snarling, furred menace, always on patrol. The good witch of the north is in hiding, as Emerald City stays shielded, jeweled mirage of the yellow brick desert. In Kansas, the winds of change are blowing for our bubbly, kind-hearted heroine. Adventure begins for dear Dorothy. Bravery, wit, and love will be needed.
Another short but sweet one there, huh?
What's that?
I said another short but sweet one there. I liked it.
Yeah.
For one, I liked the expression in his voice that was changing as he was reading. Like a long, long ago in a land far away, it had that like a sing-song storytelling voice happening there. And then right, Oz, a bold canvas now blemished and scarred, power scorching, tough gripped and wicked witch. The inner and outer rhyme is really cool. Snarling, furred menace, always on patrol. It's really cool. And I like the good witch of the north is hiding as the Emerald City stays shielded. It's sometimes it amazes me the little spin that someone can put on something. And then at the end there, the adventure begins for dear Dorothy. Bravery, wit, and love will be needed. I like how no matter how somebody interprets the tale of the Wizard of Oz, that it always includes the fact that they find Dorothy to have been an extremely brave person. And with some of the stuff she had to, you know, endure to get back home in situation, can handle that kind of stuff. But then you never realize how much you can handle until it smacks you, you know. But I think that he very showed that message there. What did you think, Dave?
Oh, yeah. I thought this was really good. The volume level on the cloud wasn't very good. I could barely hear him. There was some surges in the volume. But other than that, I really liked this. It was really, really well organized. And Oz, a bold canvas now blemished and scarred, power's scorching touch gripped the wicked witch. Does a good job with the descriptions in this, too. It has an interesting storyline in it. And, I agree with you on that second stanza there, Deb. That's really cool. The good witch of the north is in hiding as the Emerald City stays shielded. Jeweled mirage of the yellow brick desert. That's cool. I've never heard it referred to quite like that, you know. It's always, like you say, it's always an interesting to hear someone else's take on the story that you think you know, and then you hear it and you think, wow, they just reminded me of everything else that I should have thought of. But this is good. I like this. This gentleman is gonna be a good addition to the to our group.
Totally agree.
Or I should say is a good addition.
Yeah, no, I totally agree on both of the last two poems. Each are fairly new to A Team of Voices, and I'm mighty glad that each of them stumbled across us. Okay, mm-hmm. So on that note, I will remind everyone that next Monday night is Alice in Wonderland. So take a look at the board and grant you prompts. And
I'm going to have to do one for that show, Deb, because that's one of my favorite stories.
Well, cool. I hope you do, because there's some amazing photos in that, and you are our storyteller, so I expect to be impressed, although I always am. tomorrow night at 11 p.m., it's Raconteur Show Off the Rack, and his prompt for tomorrow is a quote, and that quote is, "My heart may be broken, still it beats for you." So if that just sparks something in your muse, tomorrow night the show with Rack is all for you. And like I said, next week is Alice in Wonderland. So we are at that point. David, I appreciate you hanging out till the last minute and helping me finish up those poems. You're a god.
Oh, it was fun.
Hatter, I'm sorry you weren't able to stay, and I hope you feel better. And I want to say thank you to Sky and Stephen and Kay and Wayne and Frank and Allie and Sinister. And I want to say thank you to Angel and to, I can't even talk, Jenny for the poems, and to Phil and WSP for the SoundClouds. And then, of course, even though I said thank you to Wayne and Frank, I appreciate you for making recordings at all as well. Phil, that was totally, I'm still, my chin is still a little sore from smacking the table. And Jenny and WSP, keep them coming. And on that mm-hmm. note, I just want to tell everyone that you are appreciated more than you know. I don't ever want you to think that any of us take you for granted. The fact that you show up night after night, week after week, and keep sharing your brilliance with us is appreciated by every single one of us. To all those in the team that aren't feeling all that great right now, speedy recovery to everyone. One last happy I was going to say, I'm really off because I was about to say happy Thanksgiving. I don't know where my head just went, but before the clock strikes midnight, one last happy Valentine's Day to everyone. And hopefully we'll see you tomorrow at Rack Show. But I absolutely can't wait to see you again next week. Love and respect to you all. And Dave, got a song in mind? Might just have it in the studio.
Jerry Lee Lewis has got "I'm Just a Rock and Roll Country Boy" or something like that. I don't know if you don't have that, that's okay. But that's what I was thinking of.
Rock and roll star. We have Tom Petty. Let me see here. How about? Is there any specific song you like from Motown? I got a ton of those. Or have ZZ Top? Or
ZZ Top. I'm a big ZZ Top fan.
I have The Grinch. I have Rough Boy. I have Sharp Dressed Man. I have Monday Morning Blues. I have I went to something else. Okay, I have LaGrange. I have Rough Boy. I have Sharp Dressed Man.
Rough Boy. Rough Boy's a good one.
Okay.
One of my favorites.
This is the one and only ZZ Top. That's everyone.
Your sweetheart, Deb. Love it.
Awesome. Great show. Thanks again, David.
Yeah, it was a great
night,
show.
Honey. Love and respect, everyone. Good night.
You're special. Bye-bye.